T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into the Joe Rose Show. Alex Dono, Brian Monroe with you. Stuntin' Steve is here. So last night you had the Pats doing us a favor, knocking the Patriots down a peg. They got a 97-yard kickoff return touchdown, and Adam Thielen from Kirk Cousins' game-winning TD, and that one to beat the Pats 33-26. Cowboys against the Giants. I know that, depending on which side of it you were on, that was either like one of the greatest sports betting moments or one of the worst, because the Giants get the late touchdown to cover and to get the over. So if you had Giants and the over, that was like the greatest moment of your life. If you had the Cowboys and the under, it ruined your Thanksgiving. In the early game, the Lions are basically a cursed franchise, and do they ever win at home on Thanksgiving? And Brian, I thought they were going to get it done. Like, at times I thought this is the Lions' day. Buffalo is down. Detroit, they won three straight games heading in. Yep. I thought they might be able to get this one done, but of course the Bills end up squeaking out a close one.
Yeah, and they were looking good. You know, they kicked Badgley, made up for the 29-yard miss, the media jinx, the announcer jinx that got him earlier in the game, nailed a 51-yarder, and you're like, all right, we're good. Taking this thing into overtime. Looking good. 23 seconds. No problem. And then Josh Allen just dunks it over the middle. And I'm just like, come on.
Give me this fake injury.
Here we go again.
Fake injury.
And then they kick the game-winning field goal. Because it would have been nice if the Bills lost and the Pats lost. That gave the Dolphins a little more wiggle room. And if they win this week, then it would have given them another, game and a half, two-game lead. Or a game lead against the Bills had they lost. And, you know, that's going to be huge for the playoff run when you can say, I don't have to go into the snow and I could be at home with the Dolphins fans. Man, I mean, yeah, it was wishful thinking, but I just thought it was funny that you see a lot of Bills fans when the Dolphins and Tua played. And, you know, Tua put up over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. They're like, yeah, but it's the Lions. They suck. Oh, Josh Allen didn't do that, though, huh? Okay. Just make it
I was
sure.
Thinking the same thing, and Bills fans are such trash. I didn't realize how much I didn't like them until when the Dolphins beat them in September or October, whenever it was, September, October, whatever it was, and their fans were complaining that it was like it was too hot and the game shouldn't have been played
too
and it was an unfair advantage. Like, you realize your home stadium, sometimes it gets to like negative 30, and you're complaining about it being too hot here. No one complains about it being too cold. And listen, probably more people die of hypothermia than heat stroke, right? I mean, don't cold conditions kill more people than heat? Am I off on that?
I mean, I don't. I'm not no scientist or some doctor, so I couldn't clarify for that or not. But I would have to agree with that. Yeah. Cold? Yeah, for sure.
They're just complaining because they said that our stadium is cheating because we have shade on our side.
No, it's called great architect. Like, okay, where's the home team going to be?
They have a covered bench and misting fans, though.
Yeah, like how much do you need?
Yeah.
Like, that's why we used to say back in the day, The reason why we are so good in the fourth quarter is because we're dying in June and July in the heat running outside. And when a team from anywhere else comes down, they're dead. And we're just out there smiling and running around because that's our advantage. Same yeah. thing when it comes to recruiting visit. Our advantage is we could sit on the water and eat seafood. When I go to Wisconsin, I eat cheese. Like, that's the advantage of living in South Florida. Well, if you live in Buffalo, your advantage is cold. And everyone says, like, oh, South Florida athletes, they can't play in the cold, blah, 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 blah. Well, you get the cold, we get the heat. Deal with it.
I'll tell you why I think more people die from cold conditions than hot conditions, because you can always take layers off, but if you don't have more layers to put on, you're SOL. Right?
And I mean, in Miami, we like to take off layers, you know what I'm saying?
Sure do.
We know I like going to the beaches here. I remember the first time I was a little shocked. I didn't know it was all that down here. I was like, what is going on? Jeez.
My man is seasoned now.
Now we're good. Now we're good. Now we just go in the boat and go to Hullover and just, you know, pull up to one of those, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my bad. Y'all, no, Donald's living through it again. My bad. You know, go on the boat. There's some single ladies out there, Donald, I know.
I haven't lived that life.
Been in that scene
I mean,
yet.
I don't think I ever lived that life the way you did. But I haven't even attempted to live it. I've been married now, I want to say, almost 11 years.
Oh, congratulations. So I mean, I think we all strive for that, though. That's the ultimate goal. But
well, cheaper to keep her.
Yeah, definitely cheaper to keep her. I mean, right now I got to lose about 10 pounds before I do all that with this Thanksgiving and all this good eating during football season.
Yeah. So, and listen, all this, though, it's setting up, you know, about 3 weeks away from the Dolphins and the Bills on December 18th. And listen, I know each team is going to have about three games after that, but you feel like that matchup, that rematch, is going to go a long way into deciding the AFC East with the way it's shaking out, because the Jets are imploding. Maybe they're better off with Zach Wilson sitting a few games out. We'll see how that works out. But the Jets are imploding. Patriots lost yesterday, I think they're now 500. And Dolphins
six and five.
Are seven.
They're six, six and five.
Yep. That's right. Sorry. Dolphins are 7-3. Bills are 8-3. You know, I would imagine that game, December 18th, which is probably going to be flexed into a Sunday night, by the way. The time is still TBD. I think that's going to be the Sunday night game. That's going to give us a pretty good idea who's going to have potentially home field advantage in the playoffs for at least the first game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they get, you know, the Bills get Tre'Davious White back, but they're pretty banged up right now. You know, Greg Russo's out. Von Miller went down in the game, and I think that could be potentially huge when you have that.
But by the way, because he went down early. I don't think I had the game on yet when he went down. How bad did it look?
I mean, they carted him off.
Oh, and I didn't even realize that, because by the time I tuned in, they were talking about how Von Miller had left the game with injury. I didn't see what it was.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it exactly because I was in same with you transit. But when it's Von Miller and you have to, you know, cart him to the locker room and it's a knee, I mean, you know, Von's one of those warriors that is going to play through anything. But yeah, again, you hold out hope because you never want a guy to get injured. But anything with knee and it's on that turf, it's not natural grass, so it's always going to be more injuries. I mean, potentially that could be huge when it comes to the playoffs. I think that's one of the reasons why they signed him as well, is that you saw what he was able to do with the Rams, with Aaron Donald as well. And then, you know, they've built up a great team over the years with the Bills and having young defensive linemen, and then bringing this savvy vet that's played at the highest level for one of the best defensive ends, outside linebackers ever to play it. So that could potentially be a game changer when it comes to the Bills and finishing this year right.
Absolutely. What would you say, because I'm looking at this Dolphins team, I'm looking at them as a legit contender. I'm not expecting them to win a Super Bowl, but I think they can make a deep playoff run. What would you say is their Achilles heel? Because it's got to be on defense, right?
Yes. Like,
if they can't get their defensive backfield healthy come December and come playoff time, I don't know what's going on with Byron Jones, but I would hope he's got to be motivated to come back at some point, because he's on a team that could actually make some noise in the playoffs. If they can get him back healthy and kind of straighten away some of their defensive issues, I know bringing in Bradley Chubb, I'm sure down the road it's going to really pay dividends with the pass rush and not having to blitz as much, which is going to help everybody else. But I mean, it seems like offensively this team cannot be stopped. The Achilles heel would have to be on the defense.
Kicking too.
kick. Yo, yeah. Oh,
my guy Sander, he is mud. Oh,
man.
My goodness.
And I mean, right now, it's like it's key ones that he's missing that.
Missing extra points,
you
man.
You think that in a playoff situation, he could miss that one. Now, maybe it gives him that fire to all of a sudden be the guy we saw a couple years ago, but that's going to be key. But, you know, I think there was two things on defense, but I think one is going to be corrected as they gel together, and that's getting pressure with, you know, the front four and not having to blitz every single time or bring more pressure. If you can get pressure with just your front four, that'll completely change his defense. But yeah, the opposite side of Xavien Howard as far as that cornerback position, having young guys there that I know they played well in different spots, but that's the one that kind of worries you, not having that Byron Jones over there, especially when they go three wide, four wide, and now you've got inexperienced corners to try to hold up if you're not getting that pass rush, I think would be the Achilles heel right now for the Dolphins team.
I'm not going to lie, this made me laugh a little bit. Not that I'm laughing at the injury, but this is still funny. Texter writes in, a Buffalo woman carried Von Miller off the field.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, it's cold up there. You know, you gotta stay warm. So sometimes you got to put a little. Actually, listen, I remember back in the day, the guys used to come back from the league, and there was two places that none of the dudes ever wanted to get drafted to. They literally crossed their fingers when these two teams came up. One of them wasn't as bad because they would normally win, and that would be the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And the other one were the Buffalo Bills. Nobody wanted to go to Buffalo. They would literally say, please, please, just pick somebody else, pick somebody else. And then when they would get drafted, they're like, it's miserable. There's nothing to do. It's miserable. All they do is import.
Oh, man.
Maybe that's the word I'll let DBJ figure out and what use that importing and see if he actually knows what that terminology means. He'd be like importing, like food, huh? I'm like,
kind of.
Like food, kinda, exactly.
Yeah. I remember one of the best stories was when Marshawn Lynch, because he, you know, people remember him from Seattle mostly, but he, you know, he was drafted by Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was from Northern California. He didn't know anything about Buffalo. When they drafted him, I remember him telling the story. He was all excited because he knew that Buffalo is in New York. So I guess he thought, like, Buffalo was, like, one of the boroughs. Like, he thought Buffalo was next to Brooklyn or something. It's like, all right, I get to go to New York. And then he gets off the plane. It's like, where the hell am I? What is this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. They got a very great, passionate fan base, and you got Buffalo chicken wings, but you ain't got nothing else. You literally, there's nothing else. I mean, I guess, what is it? Is an hour away from Toronto? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And that's where,
although I got a good buddy who's a Canadian bro who lives in Toronto, and he's like, yeah, why would I ever want to go to Buffalo? Like,
no.
It's not far, but it's usually people in Buffalo visiting Toronto, yes. Not vice versa.
The fact that a city in another country is a selling point, somewhere you need a passport to go to, I don't know.
Yeah. I ain't even gonna lie though. Toronto, oh yeah, Toronto is that city.
I've heard good things.
Oh, great things.
Well, what about Montreal though? Like, what's,
That's
Vancouver. A good one as well.
Oh yeah, but listen, Toronto is different because it's their big city. It is. It's got everything that you want: the city life, party life, good food. Great decoration, as we call it, and very friendly. I love me some Canadians. Like, obviously, I went to the worst city possible when I dabbled in the CFL, and I had to curse out my agent afterwards because
Edmonton?
Worse. I was in Winterpeg, as the nickname.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winterpeg.
It's just winter all the year.
Listen, I went up there for June. We went to a practice. It was 6 degrees.
In June?
In June. Yes. In June.
I don't believe you.
I swear on everything.
In June?
Let me tell you something. There were sometimes at games, it would be negative 40, negative 30 with 50 mile an hour gust of wind. Yeah.
Oh.
But everything else, I love Canada. Man, Canada. Wow. Oh, man. Yes. Canada's awesome.
Okay, we've established Canada's awesome, but I will establish America's way better. All right, we'll be back here at Joe Rowe Show with Zach Krantz, Dono, and Monroe with you on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the Joe Rose Show here on Black Friday. Alex Dono, Brian Monroe with you. Stunt and Steve is here. So the Miami Hurricanes playing their season finale. Well, definitely the regular season finale. We'll see. We'll see if we go bowling. But Brian, do you remember the conversation that we had? I was doing pregame with you, and Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press notified us that the Hurricanes are one of the teams in the best position where even if they're 5-7, because of the team GPA, they could be one of those. You get, you know, a couple every year, 5-7 teams that get called up for a bowl game. So even if the Canes don't win tomorrow night, they still could, not guaranteed, but they could go bowling.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, I forgot reporter or writer actually listed the teams that potentially could be 5-7 that would be in the running for a game. But then it'd be the question, will the school say yes or no at 5-7 would be the question. And I don't know how that goes or where the conversations are. But yeah, you see that, you know, little old Miami, since we're all thugs down here, having one of the best GPAs out there. That's why we're in the running for the bowl games, you know. But yeah, I mean, listen, again, you want to extend your season, especially if you're a senior, because you want to be able to run out again with your brothers and play another game and put on the uniform. Because I think it's sad, man, once the game's over and you know you're never going to put the uniform on, it's sad. So, look, yeah. And then it's – and as much as, you know, fans don't want to hear this, it's a fun time to go to a bowl game. And I know the season hasn't played out the way everyone thought it would. It's still fun for those young men, some that have never really traveled throughout the country, get to see a different part of the country, whether – I mean, even if, you know, they might go to Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, but I know Fenway Bowl is out there and maybe one or two other bowls they talked about. But it's definitely it's a fun experience, and you get those extra practices for the young guys and then other guys that don't really play much this year to really propel yourself into the offseason and get this thing going to say, okay, this is what we want to see from our team culture-wise, work ethic-wise. The guys that are staying are the guys that are bought in, and then you get to, you know, start to practice with them. And I don't, maybe some of the early enrollees, I think, somehow. Oh, no, that's for the later teams. Never mind.
We'll be
playing too early for that. But it just sets you up for the next year in the offseason, and then, you know, the coaches start getting work in the transfer portal and solidifying the recruiting class, and we get this thing going.
Yeah, this transfer portal, it's gonna be crazy.
The wild west.
Yeah, and I think Miami has so far they've only had I think 6 or 7 guys announced. Jalen Harrell I think was the most recent one to announce he's gonna be entering the portal. But there are a lot of other guys who are, I'm sure, choosing to wait to announce until after this game. And it kind of makes sense, Brian, because there are certain players, because like a lot of the players who have been announcing are guys who just aren't getting on the field, period. So then why would you announce it before the game, right? So after the game, guys who are going to see the field at times this week, and I hope it's not like, you know, we're definitely going to lose some guys who have played. It's inevitable, but I'm hoping we're not losing like starters, the guys we want to keep. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of announcements that come after this final game.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be guys that people are like, who, you know, no disrespect to that player, just you never really, you know, played. And then there's going to be some starters. I think there's gonna be maybe one or two guys who are just kind of like, oh, we would love to hold on to them. But when you're talking about a team that's won 5 games, so truly, what is it, Cam Kitchens, you really don't want to lose. Other than that, you're kind of like, okay,
I can give you my list of guys I don't want to lose.
Okay, let me hear your list.
Well, Cam Kitchens is definitely on it.
Okay.
Leonard Taylor, yep. Definitely on it. I go Tyler Van Dyke as well. I definitely don't want to lose Tyler. And to my understanding, I don't think Ja'Kari Brown would mind even sitting behind. He would play, get some playing time, but I don't think he would mind being the number two quarterback next year. If Tyler stays, he's not going to leave. So I want Tyler back. There are certain guys who just transferred in, mm-hmm. who maybe wouldn't transfer again, but you kind of can now. It doesn't really matter. So I don't want to lose Mezidor.
Yep.
I don't want to lose Colby Young. I'm a big fan of his. I don't really want to lose James Williams. I know there's a possibility we do, just based on the way things have played out this year, but I know the coaches like him. I don't want to lose Jalen Knighton. I'm sure there's a chance we do, just again, based on the ups and downs of this season, that's a guy that wouldn't surprise me if he hit the portal. And obviously I don't want to lose any of the top freshmen, right? I don't want to lose Wes Bissaint. I don't want to lose Nigel Lee Kelly. You know, they're obvious, and I'm not expecting Jaleel Skinner. I'm not expecting any of those guys to leave, but that's basically my list.
Yeah, I don't expect any of the freshmen because obviously they bought into Mario in the recruiting process. And I don't expect the young transfers that Mario brought in. Maybe the older guys, you know, like a Mezidor might think about jumping to the league potentially. Right. There's a couple guys on your list that, whatever, if you go, you go. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but you could point to it and say, you know, there's probably 50 dudes that played better at different, you know, schools that could come in and do the same thing or more. I think with Jalen Knighton, you can get a running back in the transfer portal to make an impact.
I want the guy from West Virginia. I know he's not in the portal yet, but there's been some rumors.
The big
about
kid from down here,
Donaldson.
Yeah. He's a big boy. He got injured, right? Though, what, he tore his ACL?
I think so. I don't even care.
I just think that. When it comes down to it, this you're going to see a record and historic number of impact and talented guys in the transfer portal that you don't have to jump. I love seeing fans where somebody goes in transfer portal, go get him. Oh, yeah, go get him. And you're like, first of all, the dude tried us in recruiting and tried us at the end when he committed somewhere else and made fun of us. I don't care what you did. No, the other kid from Texas A&M that didn't do anything.
Oh, Donnell Harris. Yeah.
I wouldn't extend an offer at, I don't care if you want to come home. Go to FIU. No, it doesn't matter. There's going to be so much talent in the transfer portal this year that you don't have to rush it. I know they've got their board, and they've got their dudes they've been keeping an eye on, that when they pop, they're going to offer this 6'6 kid that – the receiver that Alonzo Highsmith offered.
I trust Texas A&M Commerce.
Yeah. I trust his eye with talent. He's not going to care about star rating. All he's going to do is watch film and say he can make an impact. So I'm just going to sit back and watch it because I trust the guys that they have as far as coaching and front office that are talent evaluators to say this guy can play in our system and make an impact. I just know that there's going to be a couple of names in this transfer that transfer out that fans are going to be mad about, but just be patient and see what they bring in and see the type of players they bring in and see how the team does moving forward.
Later this hour, I want to talk about a couple of dumpster fires out there, like the New York Jets quarterback situation and the whole saga of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. It's been a weird couple of weeks in that regard. Yes,
back
we'll
up
get
that Brinks truck.
right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. Man, I wish I'd been paying more attention to this one yesterday. I was so focused on food and NFL football and my fantasy teams and all that, but Mississippi State won the Egg Bowl. So Mississippi State, maybe Auburn should hire Mike Leach, not Lane Kiffin. So Mississippi State beats 20th-ranked Ole Miss 24-22. It's been a weird week, Brian, for the entire Ole Miss team, hearing all these rumors about their head coach and, apparently being the top candidate for the Auburn Tigers coaching job. You know what I thought was weird? So Tuesday or Wednesday, reports started to come out about what Lane told his own players, You know, because obviously anytime you have like a coach linked to another job, you know, they usually will say something to their team, right? I mean, sometimes they lie, you know, sometimes they're upfront about it. But the reports about Lane coming out of that meeting was he said, unless something drastically changes, I'm going to be coaching Ole Miss. Isn't that a weird thing to tell your players? Like, you're basically telling your players, like, unless something like they add another zero to that contract offer happens, I'm going to be here next year. It's like, that's not exactly assurances to anyone unless something drastically changes. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I mean, if any coach is going to jump ship, I mean, it's Lane Kiffin. How many places has he coached already?
And that's
he's
his MO.
He's a young coach. I mean, he's hopped from, let's see, Tennessee, USC, went to the Oakland Raiders, FAU, had to go to Alabama as an offensive court. I mean, the dude, he jumps. It is what it is. Yeah. So you know hiring Lane Kiffin that you're probably going to have him for 2 to 3 years, and he's gone. And now, I don't know Ole Miss backers like that or what money they're working with there, but I'll tell you this, Auburn's paying their two former coaches, what, $37 million to leave?
Yeah.
So you know they got some big money backers that—
I think Auburn is still paying our defensive coordinator. I think they're still paying—
Coach Steele?
Coach Steele. I think he's still getting paid from when he was their DC a couple years ago.
I'm sure. I mean, again, they let the last two coaches go, and I think the last guy's making something like $10 or $12 million. And then Gus Malzahn was in the 20s or 18 million.
Wow.
I mean, it's a lot of money to get rid of coaches. So what that means is exactly what you said. If the number changes, I'm gone. And I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden you see the numbers change and Lane Kiffin is introduced as the next coach of Auburn. But, I mean, is it – and maybe I don't – maybe you can tell me this – is it that big of a jump from Ole Miss to Auburn?
It feels like a lateral move,
right? Because you're still in the SEC West.
Auburn has had like more championship success,
yes.
But like when you actually compare kind of where the programs have been in recent years, it's a lateral. It seems like a lateral move, both SEC teams. But I think it's what you're saying. I just think Auburn has more money from a booster standpoint, and they're becoming a massive player from an NIL standpoint. And that should be something interesting for those who think Miami is the only school that actually has NIL. No, Auburn is becoming a big player in that regard as well. So he might see it as a better situation. I'll tell you who I want Auburn to hire. There were rumors about it a couple weeks ago. It seems like they've died down a lot. I want so badly for Auburn to hire Dan Lanning from Oregon.
Like you just want to dump on Oregon fans.
I want to dump on because Oregon fans, they're always because like they are obsessive about the X, Mario.
Yeah.
So they always show up like in my Locked On Canes YouTube comments, and you're like, and they're always like they act as if I'm the one who hired Mario because they're always like, we tried to warn you, we tried to warn you about this guy. Like, what are you even talking about? Like they all as if they weren't all begging for Phil Knight to cut that blank check before Mario ended up to coming to Miami. So
yeah, I remember the whole thing before Mario got hired by us was, oh, he'd never leave Oregon. What are you talking about? Why would he go to Miami?
Why would you go to a sorry program like Miami when you have all these different things? Oh, and you guys are broke. You're never going to be able to afford them. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, we did that. We got history. When's the last time we had a championship? Oh. And he did nothing for you, but yet you guys won 2 Pac-12 championship and a Rose Bowl. Oh, yeah. And by the way, your offensive line didn't give up a sack till 8 games into the season this year. Who built that line? No, I get it. There's some transfers that you guys brought in like Bo Nix and everything else. But the core of that team is Mario Cristobal, right? The first round picks you've had the last 3 years and the one you're going to get this year is Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, so all the Oregon fans, they dump on me all the time. I want nothing more than for Lanning, who they love so much, he's their savior, to leave after one season. Like, I want no, because then I can come back. How's that stepping stone job of yours working out now? I want nothing more than that.
And I think their offensive coordinator is linked to the Arizona State job as well, I saw last week. He's getting interviewed for that. So, I mean, you never know, right? Because Oregon still has to play. Who do they got left on their schedule? Oregon State this week, and then potentially if they win, then they go to the Pac-12 championship, right?
Right.
So
they take on USC, right?
USC. Now, I don't think they're going to get in even if they win the Pac-12 championship because they have 2 losses, right? They got lost to Washington, yeah, and then they got whooped by Georgia.
That's right. They got whooped by Georgia, then Washington, yeah.
And, okay, so you could look at it as Dan Lanning might be say, okay, well, I lost to Georgia, who's the number one team, and we slipped up here, but USC and UCLA is going to leave, and I can run the Pac-12. Or he can also say, well, I'm never going to win or be respected to get into the national championship relevance unless they go to 12 games. Why don't I go back to SEC with real money and the talent is easier to recruit to Auburn? So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, I just think as a coach, they look at being a head coach in the SEC as one of the top accomplishments once they start the gig.
Especially when you have an SEC background like he does.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, it'll be tough, you know, to say that, hey, we're going to give you whatever you want money-wise, resources-wise, to come and bring Auburn back to where we were, which seems like not so long ago with Cam Newton, you know, and you can win here. You can beat Coach Saban. You just got to get your guys in. But no one's really done it after the Cam Newton year, right?
No.
It's kind of tough when you don't have the number one overall pick at quarterback that's dynamic and does everything.
That's definitely fair. And going back to Lane Kiffin, and this, you know, regardless of how any of you feel about Mario Cristobal, you know, when, you know, before Cristobal took the job in Miami, one of the names that was thrown out there was Lane, because I think Lane's got one of those agents who likes to get him in every conversation, right? So there were talks maybe Miami can bring in Lane Kiffin. I think Lane's a hell of a coach, but the only reservation that I had was I know this guy doesn't stick around anywhere, that every job to him is a stepping stone. Once he takes a job, he's thinking about what's the next step going to be. That was the only reservation, because I just feel that with the state Miami football has been in for the last 15 or so years, I do feel like they need someone to add some stability and not, you know, not head for the hills the next time a big job comes open. That was my only concern about Lane. Like, I, you know, if they had hired Lane, I would have fully supported him. I'd be all in, but I'm always worried he's looking for the next job.
Yeah, and I think everyone was with you on that. I think that was my reservations as well. I just wanted Lane because of his offense. You know, when it comes down to it, he's got one of the better offensive minds in college football. And I just think it would have been so exciting to bring that type of offense to South Florida with the athletes that we have down here. It would be easy to recruit them in an offense to say, look at this. This is what you're going to be playing in. I mean, if you look at it right now, one of the battles that we have with a South Florida running back is between Miami and Ole Miss. Because look at their offense.
Yeah, Chris Johnson.
Johnson. So, you know, Lane, take that Auburn job so we can go ahead and seal the deal on that recruiting battle, you know, unless he jumps ship to Auburn, then it's another thing. But
and it's funny because I asked somebody about that recently, and obviously it's always possible, right, that there could be certain recruits that are, like, looking to play for Lane, who would jump with him to Auburn. But every time you take a different job, the board completely changes. So who knows? Like, I don't know for sure if Lane at Auburn would have the same pull to Chris as Lane at Ole Miss does, so we would have to cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you can never do is get in the mind of a 17 or 18-year-old kid, right? Everyone's always like, oh, recruiting this. I'm like, you're really hanging your day on if a kid decides to go to your school and he hasn't even signed yet? Like,
I hang my whole life on it, man.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you guys do it. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the recruiting aspect. I want the best players to come to Miami. But we're talking about kids. They're 17 years old. Yeah, like, they don't even know what clothes they're going to wear the next day. And you want them to make life, you know, altering decisions about what college and decommit here, commit here, throw a hat on the ground, pick up a bulldog. Like, bro, you can have all those antics. Like, just come in and work all day. But if you sign, you sign. I don't care about anything until, what's the date? December 15th this year?
December 21st is early signing.
21st? Well, I thought it was earlier than that. Damn, we got to sweat it out for a little couple more weeks.
Yep.
And that's when I care. Did you put pen to paper?
December 5th is when the transfer portal opens, and then 21st is – here's what's interesting, though, Brian. Now, there are certain players who are, like, you know, top – like Samson Okunlola, for example, in Miami's chasing him, the five-star offensive tackle. Yep. He can wait till the 21st because everyone who's interested in him is going to hold a spot for him. But there's a lot of players out there who, even though signing day's on the 21st, if they haven't announced yet, you probably want to announce by the 4th, because once that portal opens up on the 5th, teams may not be saving spots for you, right? If you're a team like Miami, you know, USC, you know, teams that are really active in the portal, and there's something great out there in the transfer portal, and you're like a high three-star who hasn't made up your mind yet, they might not hold that spot for you. So I think even though signing day's on the 21st, I think a lot of kids are going to announce by the 4th.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top 100, top 200 kids, like you can name what school you want to go to and they'll hold something for you. But again, you're right. This is going to be one of the craziest transfer portal times where normally we might take a risk on 2 to 3 kids that we can develop and say, okay, they could fit in our program 3 years down the road. Well, why do you need to do that anymore? And you could just go in the transfer portal and get an immediate deep defensive back or a wide receiver instead of develop him. And if I'm with you. 3 stars, I'm committing this weekend. I'm not giving you the chance to look at all the new sexy toy like, ooh, look at that. That just came available. Like, yeah, no, you better commit and lock up your spot. But I think coaches are going to be very cautious on how many committable offers they actually truly put out there because they know that they saw what happened last year with the transfer portal, and everyone that's in the world says this year is going to be even more impactful players in the transfer portal. So why would you as a coach jump the gun and say, well, I'm going to give up these last 3 scholarships instead of just sitting back and saying, well, let's see what happens, because dudes are going to be out there. I mean, Alabama's already lost 2 guys that I'm sure get offers left and right to have 1 year senior impact to come and play for them, a defensive back and a running back. So, and you've heard the words, I mean, you heard the rumors that there's going to be shockers that jump into transfer portal from other schools that you never know what's going to happen. So that's when you mentioned like Tyler Van Dyke, that's one of those guys you don't want to lose. When I'm just sitting there like, I mean, if there's a a high caliber quarterback that gets in the system, I mean, gets in the transfer portal, I might want to take him.
That's true.
But when you guys talk about TVD leaving, you mean going to the league, right?
No, transferring. There's rumors of him going to
another school.
Yeah, I can't say, but yeah, there's rumors of him going to certain schools already.
Now, see, you can't say that and then not.
Yes,
say.
Of course I can. I don't play around. I'm not in this game to give up like certain things, man. That's how you. That's how you lose trust. Come on now, you know how this goes. Tell me your source. No, absolutely not. But yeah, I mean, listen. That's the challenge that these coaches face every day now with players, is that you know that top players are looking around or getting offered certain things to jump in the portal. You just have to trust and believe that what you're doing, they're buying into. But, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's not sometimes it's not even the players that are looking. It's the parents that are doing the visiting right now and checking out schools and seeing what potentially could happen after the season. So, again, nothing would shock me come December. Absolutely not. Okay, one would shock me. Cam would shock me, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
By the way, I do want to add a couple names, because when I gave you my list in the last segment of, you know, players that I wouldn't want to see leave in the portal, a couple receivers. Restrepo, I don't want to lose X, right?
Yeah, I mean, like Restrepo is like, that's what you want as far as like heart and passion and, you know, the way that he thinks and the way that he wants to be great and he asks former players advice and stuff like that. You want a whole bunch of Restrepos in that room.
Bro, this is a funny text. Somebody writes in the 561, if Tyler Van Dyke goes pro, he'll be throwing passes to Charleston Rambo again.
Oh, man.
You know what league? Rambo's in the XFL.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
That is a great text.
When it comes down to it, you're coming off an injury, so your draft stock drops from that. They're going to pull up the Middle Tennessee State game, the Texas A&M game, where you know you're missing wide open receivers and missing reads. Like, you're – okay. Not being disrespectful, but you're probably at best 6th round, 7th round now.
Brad,
and that's
Kyle
if everything
territory.
If that and that's if everything works out on, you know, your medicals and everything else. I mean, off the field, no worry about Tyler. All he does is play golf. But if you're Tyler, you need another year to get that draft stuff back up. Whether that's at Miami or a different school, you need another year.
Which conference is this school in that you don't want to say?
I can't say, man. I can't say. There's multiple schools.
What time zone are they in? Eastern, Central?
I couldn't even tell you that. I'll give you a hint for one of them. They're independent.
Oh, that's a pretty good hint, I think.
That's a pretty good hint, right?
It's a really good hint.
There you go.
Wow. Wow. God, I would hate to see that happen. All right, 305-567-0560, 9 o'clock hour coming up. Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz, Dono and Monroe with you, and Stunt and Steve on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.